Please welcome Steve Key.
Well, happy almost anniversary, Kirk. Thank you. 5 years is pretty amazing to be doing something. This is my third time here, and when I was thinking about possible topics to fit in with Standing Firm, I thought about the first time I told a story. It was about my being a vegan, and I'm still standing firm on that, but that story went over so poorly that I thought, stay away from veganism. And then I thought, well, this is the political season, and I'm not allowed to proselytize, so I'm not going to go on and on about why I'm supporting Bernie Sanders, but I am, and I'm standing firm, even though there are some who say he's lost, give it up, Steve, go for the Democratic Party favorite. We unite, we should unite. Yes, I know all that, but... When I was thinking about that, it took me back to when I lived in Portland in the mid-80s. I guess I was about 26 or 27 years old. Portland was kind of an accident. I had just left the Bay Area in a 68 Plymouth Valiant that had bad brakes. You could hear me from 5 or 6 blocks away. And I didn't know where I was going. I had this idea that maybe I would just go on the road for a while. And the very first place I stopped, I was just so incredibly lonely. I stopped at this hostel in Ashland. And I stayed there for a few nights, and I met up with some people who were going to Eugene, and so I went up there for a few nights. And one of my musician friends said, if you ever go to Portland, look up this guy named Michael. Used to be a manager of a record store. And so I went up to visit with Michael, and sure enough, he had this little two-story house near Reed College, and his whole house was furnished with LPs. So he had like about 40,000 LPs in this house. Every room had just stacks and stacks of LPs. It was definitely music heaven. And again, I was just so incredibly lonely and incredibly just, I didn't know what to do with myself. I spent 6 weeks at Michael's house, just staying on his couch. He was very upset with me after about week number two. And so it was very uncomfortable by week six. I was going back and forth at that point between trying to play music and my day job was working at newspapers, and I'd worked at several newspapers, and I eventually got a job in Portland as the managing editor of a weekly newspaper called the St. John's Review. And managing editor was kind of a joke because I was the only member of the editorial staff. We had a part-time receptionist, an older woman. I say older, she was probably like 10 years younger than I am now. Her name was Levina, and it was a little storefront, kind of on the main drag there in the St. John's neighborhood, which is in the north side of Portland. Back then, I thought of the north side as kind of a white trash neighborhood. The town that I grew up in was Milpitas, which had the county dump and the county jail and the wastewater treatment plant. They dumped everything in Milpitas. And North Portland was kind of like that too. They had the landfill, they had the raceway, they just dumped everything right there in North Portland. And I guess I kind of identified with the neighborhood. And it was kind of fun being the storefront newspaper editor. You know, you'd have people come walking in there to give their birth announcements, or you know, to talk about the latest crime news or political news or something, and I, every now and then I would try to stir up a little business. I made the mistake of going to supermarkets and talking with people afterwards about the section that we had in our newspaper of birth announcements, and I learned that you never ask a woman if she's pregnant. Because sometimes she's not, and it gets very embarrassing. I had to learn how to use a camera, so I was doing, you know, a little bit of everything. I thought I would be creative. I went out to the dump just before Christmas, and they had some of those little pine trees that they'd put there for, you know, kind of windbreaks or something to hide the dump, which how could you hide the dump? This is this huge thing. And I came up with this, what I thought was very artful, a photograph of, I had gotten some Christmas decorations and decorated one of the pine trees out in front of the dump and took that photo, and it was going to be the full color photo on page one of the St. John's Review, but my boss told me no, we couldn't do that. They wanted more of a Chamber of Commerce kind of a thing. And I was only there for about a year and a month, but I was there during a political season. It was a mayoral election that I remember most. There was incumbent mayor named Frank Ivancy. And since I had that storefront office and since I was a managing editor of a newspaper, the political candidates came to my door. And I remember Frank Ivancy, just this blurry image of a real tall guy in a very dark suit coming into my office with his bodyguard alongside of him. And they described Frank as a machine politician, like a Chicago machine. Now, it's not, the Portland mayoral election was not partisan, so you didn't have the Democrat and Republican candidate. But it was widely assumed that Frank was a Democratic, you know. Nobody wanted to run against him. Everybody thought he was just so powerful, so well entrenched there as the mayor of Portland. And then along comes this guy by the name of Bud Clark. And Bud, well, he looked a little bit like Santa Claus. He had the full gray beard. He owned a popular bar on the northwest side of town called the Goose Hollow Inn. And it was like one of these Cheers kind of places. I never went there, but I read about it. And supposedly, if you were like one of the regulars there, you would walk in and you would say, whoop, whoop. That was the cool thing to do at the Goose Hollow Inn. So Frank Ivancy comes to my office, and I must have had a list of questions about political issues and things, but I have no memory of that. I just have the memory of the guy in the dark suit with the bodyguard. And then Bud Clark visited my office. And Bud was the complete opposite. Portland nickname is the City of Roses. So Bud came in with this white suit and a red rose on his lapel. I said, Bud, why are you running for this office? He says, because I believe Frank Ivancy is a son of a bitch. Bud called me the next day and said, you're not going to print that, are you? I said, don't worry, it's a family newspaper. I'm not going to print that. And they had one of those parades. It was probably a Memorial Day parade on the main drag through the St. John's neighborhood. And Frank Ivancy was there in his convertible. And Bud shows up with one of these amphibious vehicles, this like gigantic tank thing. I think Bud was an ex-Marine, and so this was... It was just an incredible thing, and he's handing out red roses to everybody in the crowd. He bought some billboards around town. Back then, it was a big deal to buy ads on billboards, and he called himself the People's Mayor. And so there was Bud at the Memorial Day parade, and I'm standing there with some of the folks, some of the regulars in the neighborhood, and I talked to one of my regulars, and she points at him. She says, I think he's going to win. And he did. I can't tell you what political things Bud Clark stood for. I left Portland shortly thereafter. I read some things. I read that he had appointed the first female police chief of Portland. But I also read that she hadn't done very well and it was controversial and things. So I'm not sure Bud was a great mayor. But Bud inspired me. When some guy is in office and everybody is telling you that that is the guy who is going to win the election, and somebody else comes along and says, well, maybe I can run a grassroots campaign, maybe I can build up some support, maybe it's not part of the established political party or something, but maybe I can do it. All these years later, I'm still believing it, and that's why I'm standing firm for Bernie. Thanks. Yeah.